edition of Madden Monday here on Trib Live. Tim Benz with you after the always rare Pittsburgh over Tampa sweep. Penguins beat the Lightning on Saturday. Steelers beat the Bucks on Sunday. Where did that come from? I'm certainly less surprised by the first result than I am the second. Mark Madden from 105.9 The X, and of course from Trib Live, where you can read him four times a week. He joins me right now. Mark, I'm stunned by the second thing that happened. How about you?
I don't know if I'm stunned, because I think that I really have wrapped myself around a pragmatic take on why it happened. I think Brady was real bad. I think he's going to get a lot of stick in Tampa for going to Kraft's wedding and, by some reports, not being there Saturday for the walkthrough. But I think for Brady not to pick apart a Steelers secondary that only had one starter in it, I think that reflects horribly on him above all when it comes to evaluating this result. I think Mitch Trubisky won the game. I mean, not just him. You look at the heroes, Tim. Mitch Trubisky, with the best quarterbacking that the Steelers have gotten from anybody so far this year. And Chase Claypool makes a number of big catches. And Devin Bush breaks up what would have been the game-tying two-point conversion throw by Tom Brady. Some unlikely heroes, which right then and there makes it an unlikely win. We talked about the substitute secondary guys. I don't know what you think, but next week I'd put Minka right back in, but I might let a lot of those other guys play. They outplayed the guys who had, you know, been the regulars up to this point in the season, up till, you know, guys like Cam Sutton and so forth, Witherspoon, Levi Wallace that got injured. So I think it was just a weird off-the-wall win. I don't put too much stock in it moving forward. I don't think it saves the season, although it's impossible to ignore that they're only one game out of first place in the AFC North. It's just, it's a weird win. It's a weird season. It's a weird everything. I don't think Pickett will be cleared to play at Miami just because of the overcautious nature of how the NFL's handling concussions just very recently. But if both quarterbacks are available, I would go with Mitch Trubisky. I think, again, he played better in the time he saw against Tampa Bay than any Steeler quarterback has this season.
Well, he tried to downplay it, the reasons why he played as well as he did. I think they're obvious, though, and I think they're more mental than they are physical, which was he didn't care if he screwed up. And I don't know if that transfers to a start, especially if he knows he's starting against Miami. Do you?
Well, not only did he not care if he screwed up, but nothing could happen to him if he did screw up, because the only guy who could replace him couldn't replace him. He was the only quarterback available. So, yeah, I think he was relaxed, but I don't think you read that deep into why he performed that well when he did perform that well. I think they're so desperate for a quarterback to play as good as Mitch did. I think that speaks for itself and loudly, too. I don't think Pickett's played very well, Tim. Didn't play very well today. Didn't play very well at Buffalo. We are so eager for him to be good that we overestimate how he's playing. But again, Trubisky's performance against Tampa was the best quarterbacking the Steelers have got all year.
I think Pickett was blah today. I thought the whole team was uninspired, even though it was winning. I thought that those two series at the end of the second half was as bad a football as I had seen for a long time. I mean, my God, two series, and they held on to the ball, I think, for a minute three when they just needed to wind clock or get one first down. They couldn't do either, and then they yielded as a result a field goal back to the Buccaneers. Now, I know that some of that was Najee not being able to run again, but if it's...
Yeah, he just stinks. Forgive the interruption, Tim. He just stinks.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell's going on with him. He's badly regressed.
I'm tired of the excuses. You know, he's becoming like a latter-day Ben with all the excuses, all the injuries that nobody else has heard about, the steel plate in the shoe. Just shut up, you stink.
But, you know, if they have a better quarterback or a quarterback that they at least have more faith in at this point in his career, they're not giving the ball to Najee in that situation. They're trying to score at least on the first possession. And then on the second possession, they feel like they need a first down to wind the clock and not give it back to Tampa. Well, they have the quarterback throw the football there.
Well, Tim, funny you mention that, because one thing that, I mean, I've not been praising him, but I'm now on the bandwagon of get rid of Matt Canada. I think he's a scared little man with a yellow streak down his back who was never qualified to have this job in the first place. You look at how he kind of turned Pickett loose the first series of the game, and they went down and scored. Pickett with his first NFL touchdown pass to Najee Harris, and then he just dumbed it down. He acted like he'd sit on that touchdown the whole game. The Steelers' way of doing things is outdated, Tim. They think you can win by managing leads and with defense, and today they did because the Bucs suck, but that's the only reason why they did it.
You know, once he's got to improvise a game plan after those scripted plays happen, it's a disaster.
Well, and Tim, it also reflects moving forward on what their priorities are. Like, if they think they can save the season and get in the playoffs, which is how they always think, then there is a quarterback controversy. If they think it's about the long term, then you just play Pickett. And honestly, I have a problem with neither.
Neither meaning you don't care if they're just looking at player development and looking big picture, or neither as in they can also, in your opinion, just go ahead and try to pretend that they're still in it.
Tim, Liverpool beat Man City today. I'm barely paying attention. You know, it's funny. I was at this place, Carson's Tavern in Scottsdale, to do a viewing party.
Uh-huh.
And I had the Liverpool game on, and I said when it was like 0-0, well into the second half, I said, Liverpool and the Steelers are going to take the lead at about the same time and both hold them. And that's exactly what happened.
Honestly, like the scripted plays you thought would have been just a weak point of Canada for as poorly as that team did in the first quarter. But then you see the difference once they get off script and it's even worse.
Yeah, no question. I mean, Tim, he's just not a very good coordinator. He's not qualified. You look at his resume. You compare, I forget who did this on one of the radio shows. They compared his resume to other coordinators in the league. It just, his resume just doesn't cut it.
Let's go back to Claypool, because not only did he catch the touchdown, Mark, he had two other huge catches, including one that he really improvised nicely on with Mitch.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it was him.
Right, yes. Clutch.
No, sometimes you don't know what to say when you see that stuff, you know? It's like, you know, and pile onto that, that Pickens and Deontay were both really quiet today. They won the game today despite a lot of things.
It's funny that you look at Brady, but Brady's inconsistencies against a patchwork secondary, to me, we can't overstate that storyline. That's as big as it got today.
Now, did you think the Steelers secondary played well or that Brady played really bad?
I didn't see a lot of guys running wide open. You know, like I was surprised at how well they played, and I was actually also surprised at how much pressure they got on Brady, even if it wasn't so much like, you know, forcing the quarterback to run crazy. They did what you have to do against Brady, and that's clog up the passing lanes and shift his eyes and not give him clear lanes to throw the ball. Get a hand up, and they did a lot of that.
Well, what about my notion that you're putting Minka right back in there because he's Minka, but maybe guys like, I don't know, James Pierre stay in the lineup?
Yeah, and maybe some of these backups get a little bit more time than, say, Levi Wallace, or maybe Cam Sutton goes back to being a jack-of-all-trades
guy. Well, now here's the thing, Tim. I wouldn't be rotating guys in and out. I would make a decision on which of the guys that were good today should just play, period.
I don't know which of those new guys was the most impactful, was the best, but, yeah, give one of those guys some more increased reps.
Yeah, at just a glance, I thought James Pierre was always around the ball.
Yes, but he's a little bit more experienced. I was talking more about the three new guys.
Well, I'd be real tempted, and we don't know when Witherspoon's going to be back, correct?
Correct, yes.
I'd be tempted to just leave Pierre on the outside and start using Sutton in the slot, period. Well, like I said, I wouldn't just blanket go back to the guys who had been starting that hadn't been playing very good, which is pretty much all of them, except for Minka.
Another thing that could have made the score worse, Mark, is they got two good returns out of nowhere finally, and they still didn't capitalize on them.
Oh, that deal where Sims took the ball, what was it, back to the 12?
Yeah, and they got one
field
goal.
And they got 5 yards on three plays, and it was very unadventurous. That was horrible.
That was bad, and remember, he also had a 24-yard punt return that they did nothing with. They went three and out with.
Yeah, but the kickoff return really stuck with me because, honestly, that wouldn't have put the game away per se that early in the second half, but pretty close.
Especially with the way that Brady was not moving the ball. And again, a part of the reason why I do give some credit overall, Mark, to the secondary was they're going up against wide receivers like Godwin and Evans. And if Evans is open or even close, Brady's going to get him the ball. And there were, must have been a ton of plays where he wasn't even close to open because it's not like he was extremely heavily targeted. In fact, he only had 4 targets and 4 catches.
Well, all that's true, but Brady looked mostly like crap. I mean, I thought the biggest negative factor for Tampa was Brady. And how often are you able to say that in any game Tom Brady's quarterbacked as long as I can remember, really?
No, that's definitely a fair point. All right, Mark, let's get to the National Hockey League. Let's get to the Penguins and another 6 goals.
Oh, no, hold it, Tim. First off, I want to get to on the gambling podcast that you and I do on Thursdays. I predicted Jets to not only cover but win on the money line. There you go. And I watched a little bit of that game on one of the TVs where I was at Carson's. Rodgers looks in the tank. He looks like he's just not interested. He looks like he knows that team, that the Packers aren't that good.
And I also think that he's so down on the receivers that he's just going to go out there with the attitude of, I'm going to go out and do my job, and if they can't do anything else, so be it. I just won't throw picks. But then again, how many picks did he throw today? I didn't see a box score on that today.
I didn't either, but we shouldn't forget he's an ass. But anyway, hockey.
Another 6-goal effort for the Penguins against Tampa. I'm not surprised they did what they did against the Coyotes, but I am surprised they did that to the Lightning.
Well, Tim, I hate to levy accusations, but Eaton Park has taken the place of Wendy's from way back when, and you get a free cup of chili at Eaton Park if the Penguins score 7, right?
Mm-hmm.
They scored 6 on Thursday. They scored 6 on Saturday. I believe there to be a conspiracy between the Penguins players in Eaton Park to deprive people of free chili.
Did you ever have that sense when it was Wendy's, and do you think this is a nefarious attempt by the folks at Eaton Park on their part specifically?
There's payola, something like that.
Who would have gotten the 7th then, do you think?
Well, that's tough to say, because don't forget, in Saturday's game, the 6th was the empty net. So, like, they're not going to keep the goalie out for 7 once 6 already goes through the empty net. So, but yeah, I mean, they played real good both games, more so against Tampa, because Tampa's a good opponent, although we shouldn't forget that Tampa did play Friday night, and that because of that, Vasilevsky, who had played Friday, did not play Saturday. Brian Elliott was in. They're not the Brian Elliott soiled the bed. But, yeah, these are 2 pretty good wins. And the Sid line's on fire. Sid was 6 points in 2 games. I bet $200 on him to win MVP at 35-1 odds with River Sportsbook. So here's hoping. I pointed out to Sid, by the way, after the game, I go, Jack Eichel's 25-1. You're 35-1. You should feel insulted. That should be motivation.
There you are. You're planting the seed of motivation for Sid. How are you feeling about the blue line as it's being reconfigured?
Well, it looks good. I mean, it's really hard to tell. I like the POJ's plan really well. Jan Rutta, who played for Tampa before coming to Pittsburgh, he's faster than I recalled. He's a better skater than I recalled. So I am, you know, Petrie we knew was pretty good. I'll say this. I think 2 games, you know, short sample, Pettersson is looking really good, and I have heard, remember how they reportedly tried to, you know, trade him all summer to get cap relief?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's off the table per se, but I don't think they're pursuing it with quite the vigor they had been. I think now the primary preference is to trade POJ if he, you know, plays well enough where he gets a bit of value in a deal.
Is that the right move, or would you stick with POJ and his potential upside?
Well, Ty Smith has potential upside, too. My instinct would be to stick with POJ because I want Ty Smith here if a left-handed defenseman gets hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would, but I think they really want to get Ty Smith in the lineup.
Yes, I could see that. I wonder as the season goes along, Mark, I made this point on the gambling podcast. We talked about it after the game against Arizona in the first contest. For as much as, you know, I think the Penguins are probably like a 6th, 7th, 8th place team in the conference. They've got to be better than some teams. Maybe not Tampa. That was just a really good game that they played against Tampa. But a lot of games, they should do what they did to Arizona because they're not injured yet. The veterans who are old are fresh. There's not tread off the tires. And they've got a lot of cohesion, especially up front, that should net them a lot of positive results.
Well, and we're doing this podcast on Sunday. And they play at Montreal Monday night. They should just go up there and kill Montreal.
That's exactly my point. That's the exact team I'm talking about.
Yeah, they should just go up there and, you know, get the 2 points and get out of there.
I thought you made a really good point in your column, Mark, about the goalies. and how the Eastern Conference is more unsettled than it could be because good teams don't have quality goalies.
Yeah. Like, I don't trust Anderson with Carolina. I don't trust Murray, although he's out now with Toronto. I don't trust almost anybody but Vasilevsky and Shesterkin, really. I think Sorokin's pretty good with the Islanders, but I don't think they're very good. You know, I don't trust Swayman with Boston. I just think there's a lot of opportunity for the Penguins to jump over teams based on Jarry, I hope, being a better goalie than their goalie. I think Jarry's like a top 10 in the league with the potential to get to like top five, you know, for, go from being a guy who just has, you know, consistency where the numbers add up, the stats, a guy who steals games and gets talked about for doing so. I think the potential is there for him to do so. And I think that is the Penguins, you know, biggest upside. You know, because you know, if the players they got up front are healthy, they're going to get a lot of goals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, exactly.
But like, you know, Jarry perhaps can just, you know, kind of double down a little bit. And like, I look at the Penguins division, Tim. I'm not saying they're going to finish first, but they could. And it's the kind of year with that older roster where, you know, finishing first would offer no guarantees, but I wouldn't mind it.
The area where they do have some newness, where they do have some cohesion that needs to come together, it's definitely that second penalty kill unit.
Oh, Tim, I hate the power play. I mean, I argue about that with people all the time. By the way, goalies too, don't trust Bob with Florida. He's proven he shouldn't be, time and again. But that first power play, you know, Tim, there's no point, man. And by that, I don't even mean that, you know, Tanner up top's, you know, not as good as he should be, although he's not. He'd be better in the left half wall. But they already got Rusty there. I mean, and there's no obvious choice to jump up top. But they don't have a true point man like Gonchar used to be. And for that matter, Phil Kessel was on the left half wall. Like you know, the guy up top doesn't have to be the reset point. You know, Kessel was the reset point on the left half wall. Lemieux, when he played on the left half wall, was the reset point. You know, stuff like that really varies depending on who's where on the power play. But probably a better way to put it, instead of saying that they don't have a true point man, I don't feel like they have an automatic reset point. With the PK, don't forget, when Teddy Bluger comes back,
yeah, that'll
that
help.
Matters a lot.
Yeah, that'll help for sure. Finally, Mark, I noticed this story when you brought up Liverpool. What happened with the fans? The fans for Man City were chanting something at the Liverpool fans. What happened there?
Yeah, I didn't see exactly the verbiage. I don't think anything got said on the TV broadcast. But yeah, something about, I think, the Hillsborough disaster in 89 where, you know, a bunch of Liverpool fans passed away, which is like really verboten and off limits with our group, you know, with our fans. So I don't know exactly what it was, but
it said apparently chance of murderers and always the victim. It's never your fault.
Yeah, that's probably, yeah, well, whatever. I mean, who won today? I mean, that's, you know, that's easy for them to say because they don't have, you know, fortunately for them, tragedy in their past. But yeah.
Mark, I really look forward to this week on your show telling all the Pickett supporters that Trubisky should be the starter. This is going to go over great.
Well, I'm not. First of all, I really don't care. but like, I think it's very fair, don't you, to now ask what the criteria is and what the priorities are. Because that does determine how you treat this. Am I right?
It does, and I've long said that we slide the scale. We move the goalposts based on what Kenny does versus what Trubisky does.
Well, like I said, and you've got to agree, Tim, Trubisky played better today than any quarterback has for Pittsburgh all year, correct?
I would say that was the best two quarters of football that we've seen from a quarterback, yes.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, that's not the biggest sample size.
And rivaled only by when Trubisky was replaced by Pickett, and Pickett had those two drives against the Jets.
Right, but we also tend to overestimate what Pickett does because of who he is. The fact that he went to Pitt and he's the golden boy, correct?
You see potential there where all you see in Trubisky is retribution.
Yeah, so, I mean, whatever. Tim, I think I've made it pretty clear for a number of years now that the Steelers could do whatever the frig they want. I don't care. I'm just saying that, again, if you think you can save the season, and they always feel that way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you think you can save the season, you have to at least countenance the notion that, okay, look how Trubisky played and see if he can do it again.
Well, you know what? Like, the rest of the AFC North is making him think that way because the rest of the AFC North right now stinks.
Yeah, and the Dolphins are a team they could beat. I don't think they will, but it's a team they could beat.
Especially if Tua doesn't come back or their quarterback situation stays a mess.
If Tua's not clear, they should let Trubisky play for Miami.
Trade him to Miami and then see what happens. That is something we need. Mark Madden, he is on 3-6 on 105.9 The X, and you can read him four times a week at Trib Live. Check us out for Madden Ben's Unfiltered at 9:30 a.m. on Monday morning. This is Breakfast with Benz, and this is the Madden Monday podcast.